weather radio's warning alarm and a special communications test for dissemination of tsunami warning messages. Also, if you are participating in today's statewide earthquake drill as a part of the West Coast Great Shakeout Exercise, drop, cover, and hold now. With the voluntary cooperation of broadcasters and cable operators, this system informs you of events that pose an immediate threat to your life or property. If this had been an actual emergency requiring immediate action, official messages would follow the alert tone. This is a test. No tsunami warning is in effect. Repeat, this is only a test. The following tones will conclude this test.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Vagabond Opera's 7th annual Day of the Dead Bash, the Transylvanian Voodoo Ball. This concert and Day of the Dead celebration honoring the ancestors is coming up on November 1st, 8 p.m. at the Star Theater, 13 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland. The neo-gypsy cabaret Vagabond Opera and the Russian gypsy punk band Chervona will play, along with many special guests. Bring mementos for the Day of the Dead altar to honor lost loved ones. There will be a costume contest with prizes. That's the Vagabond Opera's 7th annual Day of the Dead Bash, the Transylvanian Voodoo Ball, at the Star Theater on November 1st. More information can be found on the right-hand side of the KBOO.FM website under Community Events.
Good morning, this is Gene Bradley. And you are listening to Between the Covers. We're joined today in the KBOO studios by Craig Johnson, the author of the Walter Longmire Mysteries, about the sheriff of the mythical county of Absaroka in the real state of Wyoming. Craig's in town to talk about his new novella, The Spirit of Steamboat, which is being released today by Viking Penguin. And Craig is going to be appearing tonight at Powell's Books, Cedar Hills Crossing in Beaverton at 7 p.m., Craig, welcome back to KBOO.
Hey, Gene, how you been?
It's great to see you.
It's good to be here.
This last July, we talked to you when you were here at KBOO about your newest novel in the Longmire series, A Serpent's Tooth. And at the time, you were in the middle of quite a book tour. You were going to 68 sites in 21 states. And now you're starting a new tour of duty, as you call it, for your new novella.
I'm the Jackson Brown of mystery authors, aren't I? I'm the hardest working man in show business
here.
Sort
of the Charles Dickens of our time. How are you holding up?
I'm doing well. I got all my hay put up. I got all my firewood done, 18 cords. Look at, and so it's life is good in the little town of U-Cross, Wyoming, population 25.
I don't know how you do it, but we're going to ask you about that in just a minute here.
Okay.
Now, when you were doing your summer tour, you came and you were talking to us about that, and it was fascinating because you didn't just go to major cities. You went to a lot of places where prominent authors such as yourself hardly ever go. Could you tell us a little about how you put that together and what it was like?
Well, you know what? Name me another author that goes to Burns. You know, I got to tell you, I've hit the tiniest of the tiny. Like, but I mean, come on, I live in a town of 25 in Wyoming. So, I mean, you know, every town in Oregon is bigger than I am. Like, so for me, it's a wonderful opportunity. But I mean, the thing is the books have a really wonderful readership, you know, in the Northwest and specifically in Oregon, which I'm very fond of, and you know, and have for the last, you know, 10 years. Like, that the books are very, very popular, and so I would get these emails, you know, from all of these little bookstores like that, and they would say, you know, when is Viking Penguin going to send you to, you know, Baker City, Oregon? And I would say never. They're not going to do that like that. I mean, they'll send me to Seattle, they'll send me to Portland, they'll send me to Salt Lake City, and that's, you know, they focus on the larger towns. And so, but I told them, I said, well, let me, you know, take your information, I'll put it in a file. And then if I'm ever in the area, you know, maybe we can work something out. And so eventually, like, I got enough bookstores together, you know, in Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, Utah, that I could actually do a big loop and make it all the way around. And I bought this motorcycle back in 1996 that was rapidly dry rotting on its tires. And I thought, you know what, you know, use it or lose it, one of the two. And so I thought, well, you know, that's really good motorcycle riding territory. So why not? I'll take off and do that. So about, you know, I think it's about 3 weeks long in the summertime, I just go and hit all of these little independent bookstores as I work my way around the great Northwest.
What was it like to visit those towns?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's amazing. Like, I mean, you know, in places like Burns, you know, I go to the Pine Room restaurant there there, like in the back room, and like 100 people, you know, come, you know, blistering in there, you know, with their books to get them signed and everything. It's kind of interesting, like, because I think that the books, you know, I mean, we've been on the New York Times bestsellers list for a number of years now, and with the TV show and all these things happening like that. But I think for a lot of people, they touch a nerve, you know, on what it's like to live, you know, in a very outlying and rural area. And I mean, you know, to give you an indication of what that was like, I was actually out on the Powder River Country on the motorcycle this summer and stopped in a little bar out in Arvada like that. And I went inside, like, and the bartender knows me, and I look up on the wall and there's a big sign that says Longmire and Longnecks on Monday night. And I look at him, I go, what's this? Like, and he goes, well, he says, we get, you know, Longneck bottles of Rainier beer like that. And he says, and a lot of the, you know, outlying ranches, they don't have cable TV, so they all come to the bar and watch Longmire on Monday nights, you know. And I started laughing. I said, that's really great. Like, and he goes, no, Craig, you don't know how great it is. The last show they used to come in and watch was Gunsmoke, okay? So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, you're probably getting a little business from a Rainier beer.
Yeah, well, you know what? They haven't sent me a darn thing. I haven't even got a six-pack out of these guys yet. I guess they're paying for that new sign that they're putting up on I-5 up there. So.
That's what I understand. Now, you've said that The Spirit of Steamboat was an accidental book, your new book here, novella, as it's called.
Yeah.
How is that so?
Well, you know, the Viking Penguin likes it when I do these interconnected, you know, extended short story pieces like that, these e-specials that they put out. There have been Messenger, Divorce Horse, mm-hmm. you know, and a couple of others. And then what happened with this one was I sat down and started writing the one for this year. And after about 4 days, it was over 80 pages long. And so I wrote them back in New York and said, I don't think this is a short story anymore. And they said, well, how long do you think it's going to be? And I said, probably about half the length of one of the books. About 150, 160 pages. And they said, well, we'll put it out as a hardback novella in the fall is what we'll do. And so they have like that. And it was this little book that's a little bit different, you know, from some of the other books. I mean, I didn't have to kill anybody in this book, which I'm really excited about, you know. And then it's got some qualities to it that make it, you know, a pretty kind of a really nice kind of holiday sense, because some of the philosophical underpinnings of the book, you know, they actually come from Dickens, as a matter of fact.
Right.
You mentioned Charles a little bit earlier there, but there's a great quote and from Christmas Carol that is one of the books that Walt carries around, you know, in his sheepskin coat. I mean, Walt's a very knowledgeable, well-read, you know, for a Wyoming sheriff like that. He is an extraordinarily well-read individual like that. And so he's carrying this copy of Christmas Carol around in his pocket. And one of the quotes that he remembers is the quote that Marley gives to Scrooge, which is, no space of regret can make up for life's opportunities lost. And so that's kind of the theme of the storyline, you know, like that, to you know, you need to do the things you need to do in life like that, because you might regret it later on.
Yeah, and this is unusual because it's sort of a backstory. I mean, there's been a continuing narrative through the series, but this is sort of a backstory that gives us a little bit of the earlier days.
It does. Like, Walt's only been the sheriff, you know, for only 2 months, you know, actually, when we finally get to the story. I mean, in essence, what it is, it's one of those, you know, ghostly visitation stories, you know, that Charles Dickens did so well, like that. But, you know, this woman wanders into the Absaroka County Sheriff's Department and says she's looking for the sheriff, you know, and she's carrying a garment bag. And Walt introduces himself, and she looks at him, and she goes, no, not you, older. Who's the sheriff before you? And so he has to take her over to the home for assisted living and introduce her to Lucian Connolly, who was the previous sheriff. And then you know, she says, you don't know me either. Look at, and so, you know, Walt has to, she leans forward and says only one word, steamboat, you know,
yeah.
Which is the bucking horse that's on all of the license plates
right.
in Wyoming.
Right, right.
And, you know, very famous bucking horse, you know, from the turn of the century, the previous century. And, you know, it leads us back to 1988, you know, whenever these two older sheriffs, you know, made this incredible flight on this vintage B-25 bomber trying to get this burn victim child from Montana down to Children's Hospital in Denver. And so
we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but right now we're going to take a break and hear about what you, the listeners, can do to support community radio.
And here we are asking you once again to provide us some support here at the station. 877-500-5266 KBOO. Yes, indeed, you would only hear these kinds of live interviews on KBOO once in a blue moon in some of our competitors. And if you would call in and pledge $75, you'll get two books, Spirit of Steamboat and A Serpent's Tooth, two of the mysteries written by Craig Johnson, who you've just been hearing on air. $75 minimum pledge, two books. Hey, it's going to get dark and rainy, and you need something to curl up in a cozy chair and read. And what's not to like about a mystery?
We only got three sets of those books, so call now.
877-500-5266.
We are KBOO. We are on the air because of people who have called to pledge their support, to keep the lights on, to keep the microphones functioning, to keep that broadcast tower pushing those airwaves out to you and bringing you all of this fine programming. You know it's true. You know I don't even have to qualify our programming here because you're listening.
Right,
you're
now.
Listening right now. And I want you to pick up the phone,
right,
take
now.
A brief second. You won't miss anything because all you're going to miss is me while you're calling the station to make that pledge. The number is 877-500-5266. Call now. Come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. If neither of those works for you, if you're stuck at the desk, it's kboo.fm where you can pledge your support to keep this programming coming to you, keeping all of these machinery, all this, the wheels in the machinery, the cogs, keeping them spinning. That's 877-500-5266. Dial the number, dial it now, make the call.
And remember, you can get two books for a $75 minimum pledge, and they're both mysteries. They're both by our guest, Craig Johnson. And if you call us at 877-500-5266, you can get a set of these books. There's only three sets available. We'd love to give you a book as a thank you gift by responding to your call, 877-500-5266.
We've got a two-part between the covers today. Gene Bradley interviewing Craig Johnson about the Sheriff Longmire novella Spirit of Steamboat, which is one of those that you'll get. And along with that is A Serpent's Tooth. And in the second half of the show, Lisa Loving will be interviewing writer Jesmyn Ward about her new memoir, Men We Reaped, about growing up in poverty in the South. I'm from the South. I'm looking forward to that interview. The number here, though, is 877-500-5266. Call, pledge your support. We need that feedback. We need the love. Let's go back to Gene with Between the Covers.
Hey, this is Gene Bradley. You're listening to Between the Covers, and today we're sitting here visiting with Craig Johnson. It's wonderful that he and his wife came by to talk to us, and but we're talking about his new novella, The Spirit of Steamboat. I'd like to take this minute to thank Craig and his publisher, Viking Penguin, for donating copies of these two new books for KBOO to use as thank you gifts for our pledge drive. We really appreciate it, Craig. Thank you.
Hey, our pleasure.
And let me tell you what, a bargain. You get two great new books and a tax deduction. We're giving it away out here. If you're not awake, you better wake up.
Well, you know what? If you're in the sound of our voice, like that's pretty kind of wonderful because, I mean, like I say, I was talking about it before, like that we live in a town of 25 in northern Wyoming, and we just, you know, public radio, we just don't get like that. We have to, like, turn it on the computer or something to try and get it in like that. And so it's such a wonderful opportunity for the people in the community to have this kind of radio, which I think is, you know, ultimately entertaining.
Well, we sure appreciate you and your wife coming by in the middle of another very busy book tour.
Our pleasure.
Well, thanks. Now, you have said, I read it on your website.
Uh-oh.
That
means I might have said it. I don't know.
That the inspiration for many of your stories comes from items you've clipped from the newspapers. What inspired this novella, The Spirit of Steamboat?
This one was a little bit different in the sense that I actually got to meet a number of the Doolittle Raiders, like at the pilots who actually flew, you know, these B-25 bombers off of the USS Hornet back in 1942. And did there was a famous film, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, famous book actually. Mm-hmm. And so I was always curious about these individuals. Like, and when I used a friend of ours, like by the name of Mary Branneman, who is Buck Branneman, the horse whisperer of fame, like her father was actually one of the pilots. And so I actually got to go to San Antonio to one of the 69th reunions of the Doolittle Raiders, like and just listen to these old guys talk and just listen to them tell stories. And I just was so reaffirmed in the life process there, like that, because here these guys are in their 80s, like, and they're still pinching girls as they walk by. I mean, as we were saying, like the flyboys just don't change. Okay, but they just still had all of that energy to them, like that, and all of the excitement of talking about, you know, what it was like to fly that mission, you know. And I just thought, you know, I've got this sheriff, this older sheriff, like that, who's, you know, kind of getting into his age, and it would be interesting to see what he would do if I was to, you know, pop him back in the seat of an old B-25. Like that, and one of the few, you know, one of the things most people don't know, like that, is there was a group called Hawkins and Powers, like that, out of Grey Bull, Wyoming, like that, and it's an airfield over there, and it's a private contractor that flies a lot of vintage aircraft, and they use them to put out forest fires up and down the Rocky Mountain region. And so I was able to sit down with Dwayne Powers and talk with him, you know, about, you know, flying the B-25s, you know, and the time that I spent with the Raiders, you know, learning all the little secrets that they knew about this particular aircraft. It just made for, I think, a good read. It made for a good ripping tale, as it were.
It's a harrowing story, but it's a ripping tale. Now, do you fly yourself? Have you been behind the wheel of one of these?
Actually, I haven't. Like, I've been in them, like, and flown in them, but never, you know, never actually flown one. Like, I don't know, you know, what the, I think, I don't know how many millions of dollars these aircraft are worth nowadays, like that, you know, because I think there are actually about 12 of them, I think, that fly, you know, here in the continental United States. But, you know, I don't know if I want to be responsible for being behind the wheel or something like that, you know. I've actually climbed into the nose up there in the navigator's point, look at and look through that glass nose, you know, and look down at the ground, you know, going underneath you. And you learn a little bit about these things. I mean, because we all kind of look at them as being these, you know, vintage, incredible classic aircraft and all this. Well, you know, you got to remember that when they were built during wartime, you know, they just threw these things together. They were just a platform with an engine, you know, to help, you know, try and, you know, win the war effort. And so when you're up in there and you see these huge cracks in the, you know, in the sheet metal and the fuselage and the noise, you can't even talk to anybody inside those things without, you know, having a microphone and headset on. And it's just amazing to me that, you know, what they did, what they were capable of doing. I mean, it's a different breed of cat nowadays with the technology being the way it is. Everything is computerized. Everything is so advanced technologically. But back then, it was just big engines and stick and rudder guys, you know, with leather jackets on and saying, hey, I think we can fly a medium-sized bomber off of an aircraft carrier.
After 3 months of training.
Exactly. Right here in Oregon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's a true story. So, you've got a quote from Chuck Yeager in the front of your book.
I do.
That really exemplifies the whole spirit of these people who did this.
It kind of does. Look at, I mean, you don't have to look too far, look at, to find somebody, look at, you know, with that kind of bravery, look at, and not see Chuck Yeager, look at. But one of the quotes he's got there in the front is that you risk, you know, you take a look at the risks, but, you know, you don't let that stand in the way of trying to get the job done. And, you know, for a lot of these guys, you know, that was a lot of it, you know, calculating, you know, what is it we're up against? What is it we're going to have to do? Look at, and then, you know, stepping in and saying, okay, let's get this done. And that's kind of a little bit of what we're facing, you know, in that particular storyline, like that, because there's, you know, a young woman who is, you know, burns over 30% of her body, smoke inhalation damage. She's got 4 hours to live. They've got to get her, you know, from up in, you know, Montana down to Children's Hospital in Denver. And they have 4 hours to do that. You know, well, the storm comes in and the medevac helicopter is going to have to make an emergency landing in Durant. And the only vehicle there is, the only, you know, plane that there is that can, you know, make it in these kind of conditions is this old B-25 bomber. And it's got nose art on it, you know, with the bucking horse, you know, and it says steamboat across it and all of this. And so, you know, these two sheriffs decide, okay, well, you know, this is the only way this is going to get done. You know, let's get all Western here and see what we can get.
So, and they have to get all Western because this aircraft is not in good repair.
It is not the vintage, beautiful aircraft that I was mentioning earlier. Like, it's kind of a hangar queen, like, and has numerous problems along the way.
And that adds to the harrowing nature of the story. But it is a great story. I mean, it's just compelling reading.
Thank you.
And you just, you know, it's sort of a backstory, you know.
It is. It's a period piece that takes place in 1988. So Walt's only been the sheriff, you know, for like 2 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it jumps back in time.
And then you go back through all the whole series and all that he's done since then. Do you see more of these coming, these sort of side stories, these backstories?
I think so. I mean, I'm having such a wonderful time. You know, I mean, this one literally wrote itself, the first draft, in like about a week. I mean, it was like bang, you know, and somewhere in the back of my head, I guess in my subconscious mind, I had this idea for this little novella. And, you know, and like I said, it was a different kind of philosophical piece, like that, simply because it wasn't like, you know, a body on the ground in the first, you know, 20 pages, you know, and trying to figure out who done it or anything like that. And some of the drama of this type of piece, especially the dramatic conflict of it, a lot of times is not a question of, you know, killing off your characters, but more of trying to find a way to keep them alive.
Right.
And this is kind of one of those situations. I mean, it's a little bit like a lifeboat, you know, you know, situation where, you know, it becomes very harrowing and you're not quite sure as to what it is that's going to happen. And for me, that's part of the challenge of the book.
No kidding. Well, we're going to take another break and talk about keeping Cabo alive and what you can do, dear listeners, to help us with that. Thank you.
And part of our challenge here is we don't quite know what's going to happen, but we have something that we're shooting for. We have hourly goals, and the way that we make that happen is because you pick up the phone
and dial
877-500-5266, or you come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We still got a donut or two left, and we We don't know what's going to happen every hour, but we give it our best anyway. But we need you to fulfill this promise. We need you to fulfill this relationship. We are doing our part. We stay true to what we say we're going to do.
877-500-5266. That's where you can call. You can also go to kboo.fm on the web. If you're listening on the web, we've gotten pledges this morning from Illinois, from
Queens,
New York, better known as part of the Big Apple. And some people are getting radio that way. Sometimes I listen to KBOO by plugging in my computer. I happen to live out on the Oregon coast. When the weather's a certain way, I can get it right out of the air with a bit of TV wire. So sometimes I'm listening on the web. Sometimes I'm listening out of the air like everyone else. And I want to bring up something. I was in a dialogue recently with some folks about the value of radio. And what was pointed out to me is that FM radio is accessible to just about everyone, regardless of their income level. There's many, many people who do not have computers, do not have smartphones, do not even have high-speed internet available to them if they live out in rural areas, or if they just don't have the money in their pocket to buy those services. I know our phone service where I am is about $114 a month. That gives me high-speed DSL, blah, blah, blah. But I can listen to KBOO seemingly for free. But it isn't free in that it costs money for us to broadcast. We need you to help us keep it going by calling us at 877-500-5266. And if you think, well, you know, I'm getting it for free, I don't really have to pay, if you have the means, think about it as giving a hand up to people who don't have the means to support us. If you have the means, please call us, 877-500-5266. Plug in.
That's right. It is free to receive. It is freely available. And the way that we operate down here is we don't charge you to receive it. We decide that we're going to produce such quality programming that you're going to pay to help us produce it so that others may have it freely available. And the way that you help in that regard is by picking up your phone and dialing 877-500-5266, kboo.fm, or you come down to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and you sustain us. You become a sustaining member, $5 a month. I did it. I know you can do it. And now is the time to make that happen. It's a simple phone call, 877-500-5266. But I warn you, once you make that phone call, you might get hooked. So go ahead and do it anyway, 877-500-5266.
And we still have a couple of sets of the books by Craig Johnson, those two mysteries that you can curl up with later on this year in the winter when it rains and you need something cozy and fun. The Spirit of Steamboat and A Serpent's Tooth for a $75 minimum pledge. You will get those two books. It's a retail value of $47. Hey, you're going to get two books, you know, that you wouldn't have had otherwise. You would have a real connection because you will have heard the author live in Portland at KBOO. So, 877-500-5266. I'd like someone out there who's listening right now to say, you know, I think it's worth it. I'm a reader. I'm a cozy wintertime, you know, sit by the fire in a wood stove, if it's by candlelight, and read a book.
I got an extra $60.
I've got an extra, yeah, I got a $75 minimum pledge for these two books, though. Now, don't sell it short.
Oh, for these books, you're right.
Two books, yeah.
I got an extra $75. It's an investment, and it's an investment you're going to get a return on. Not only are you going to get a couple of books, but you're going to know that you're part of this KBOO family down here. You're part of this production team because you're bottom lining it on the back end. You're doing the part that's not very glorious. You're the one who will know that you've done the right thing because you picked up the phone, you dialed 877-500-5266, you made the pledge, and you hang up the phone, and you end up with that warm, fuzzy feeling. That warm, fuzzy feeling doesn't come from the electrons that we push through the air. It comes from the content behind those electrons. You push those electrons by making the financial means available to us by calling 877-500-5266.
And I want to mention that, okay, $75 may sound like a lot. It works out to $1.47 a week. $1.47 a week. And if you decide to do it with an electronic fund transfer, that would work out to $6.25 a month coming automatically out of your checking account. Not a bad deal. It's really easy. We can set that up for you. You don't have to think twice about it.
You can't even get a cup of Joe for that anymore.
No, you can't.
One cup of coffee, sacrifice. It's not even a sacrifice. Just decide that you're going to take those funds and put them to good use. We're going to go now back to Between the Covers. This is KBOO 877-500-5266. Make the call.
Hey, this is Gene Bradley coming back to you here. We're talking to Craig Johnson today about his new novella, The Spirit of Steamboat. Craig is the author of the Walt Longmire mystery series. He's also got in addition to this new novella, he's also got a new novel out this year, A Serpent's Tooth. And both, as of today, are available in your local bookstores because Spirit of Steamboat is released today, I think.
Yeah, Spirit of Steamboat is today. This is the inaugural launching of the
we're
book.
We're here at the launch.
It is.
Yeah. And Craig is also appearing tonight at 7 p.m. at Powell's Books over in Cedar Hills Crossing in Beaverton. And that you get there early because it's going to be full, I betcha.
It's a hoot. I actually love going out there like that. And sometimes people ask, they say, well, why don't you go to the one, you know, downtown? Like
too
that.
Small.
But, well, yeah, and it's, you know, they weren't the first to invite me. Like,
they have to have it out there because the crowds are big.
Is that it? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
That's why it's the biggest venue they have.
Oh.
Pretty soon they're going to be putting you in an amphitheater.
Oh,
somewhere,
no. So. We'll just stand around in the aisles between the books and talk. Okay.
And if you want to hear more from Craig, we have, this is insider information for KBOO people, we have an interview from his visit in July of this year, and it's available if you go to the KBOO website and type Craig Johnson into the search box, and you can get the audio and just listen to it right in the comfort of your home. No charge, just another privilege of listening to KBOO radio.
How wonderful.
Well, it's, you know, what the heck.
You guys are full service.
It's pretty modern. Really. Pretty modern. After you wrote The Cold Dish in 2004, you said that you thought you had enough interest in the lives of these characters to write a few more of these novels. Well, since then, you've written 8 more of them.
I have.
And the latest thing I read is that you thought you might, and we don't want to wish this, but you might drop dead before you wrote about all the stories you could think of. So what's next?
Well, you know what it is, it boils down to is that each one of the books kind of has some sort of social commentary. You know, I mean, I if I was just trying to write clever ways of killing people, I think I would have gotten tired of writing the books in, you know, pretty short order. But I was fortunate enough that, like, you know, being with a, you know, a literary press like Viking Penguin, they allow me a lot of freedom like that. And so, you know, what I tend to refer to the books is I tend to refer to them as socially responsible, you know, crime fiction, you know, where you do have something to say. There's a social problem that you want to kind of take a whack at, a trap, you know, and generally what, you know, where the books come from is that there's a newspaper article. I'll always spot a newspaper article and think, okay, well, that might be an issue or a situation that Walt could deal with. And so I'll start off working on that. And you know, as well as I do, there are enough social problems that I could write about social problems till I dropped dead and I would never touch, you know, even and scratch the surface. And so that kind of became the issue there. Like, and then the next one, actually, the next book that's coming out in June of next year is called Any Other Name, like that, which is, of course, an excerpt from the Romeo and Juliet quote, "A rose by any other name should smell so sweet." And it's actually a situation where Walt is called in when a sheriff's investigator commits suicide in Campbell County, and he has to go over there and try and figure out why this guy who, you know, seemed like a really straight ahead by the book, you know, kind of investigator, you know, had committed suicide. And it's kind of like the Winter of Our Discontent book, like that, because it's right in the depths of a High Plains winter. So there's a lot of snow, a lot of cold.
A lot of this stuff always seems to be in the dead of winter when it's a lot of snow and a lot of cold.
Well, you know what? We've got 2 seasons in Wyoming. We have winter and the 4th of July, and it sometimes snows on the 4th of July.
Now, one thing we have to talk about just real quickly here is that you have a whole other dimension now. Your books have become the inspiration for the A&E series Longmire, which is now in its 2nd season, and you can get the DVDs of the 1st season from all the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the 2nd season's been released, but how does it feel, I mean, to go from the scale of selling books to having 4 million people look at something that you thought of first?
It's kind of weird like that. I mean, I have to admit that, you know, we've gone, you know, two seasons now like that, and things are looking very, very good. I mean, we're for the 3rd season, because we're actually the highest rated scripted drama in A&E's network history.
That's amazing.
Which is, you know, not bad for a show about the sheriff of the least populated county in the least populated state in America. It's kind of anti-CSI programming is what it is, right. You know, when you look right at it. But yeah, it's been kind of miraculous, you know, the effect that it's had. You know, a lot of people are doing binge reading where they go out and they grab all 9 books and read them over the weekend.
It's a good idea.
And then write me angry emails on Monday saying you don't write fast enough. You know, so it's kind of fun to have that happen and to be the response. You know, see the response of all of that. But yeah, it's a different world. You know, I mean, people ask what it's like to have something like that happen, and I say, well, it's kind of like, you know, what's it like to see your characters, you know, on television or on the screen, you know, and spouting words, you know, from your books. And the way I describe it is it's kind of like having a house plant in your house for, you know, like, you know, 8 or 9 years and then coming down one morning and having it start talking to you like that. And so it's a little odd, but it's kind of wonderful at the same time, I have to admit.
That's great. Well, Craig, we want to thank you for coming by KBOO today, you and your wife, and we hope you will come to us again next time you come through town. And
you won't be able to keep me away.
Oh,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Great. Well, we won't lock the door. Craig has been talking about his new novella, The Spirit of Steamboat. Comes out today. And you should get it because it's a great book. And you should go see Craig tonight at 7 o'clock at Powell's Cedar Mills Crossing or whatever it is over in Beaverton. You can't miss it. It's the only Powell's in Beaverton, I think. So, Craig and Ms. Johnson, thank you very much for coming by.
My pleasure, Gene.
Okay, take care.
All right, Gene, thank you very much. And Craig, great interview this morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up in just a minute, the second half of Between the Covers with Lisa Loving interviews writer Jesmyn Ward about her new memoir. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're just born to lose, bound to lose. No good to nobody, no good for nothing. Because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that.
Folk music is one of the first social media communicating news of social import. It still does so today. Join me, Don Jacobson, on Friday, October 25th, 12 noon to 1:30, for Sing Me a Song of Social Significance. From Woody Guthrie to Cy Conn, you'll hear songs that are meaningful to your lives, songs that are inspiring, and songs that are just fun to listen to. Cy Conn and David Rovick's CDs will be available as thank you gifts for your pledge. 12 noon to 1:30, Friday, October 25th.